Please turn to John chapter 15, where our Lord Jesus Christ describes himself as being the true vine. But if you were to read the words of the previous chapter in the latter part of chapter 14, the last verse, the Lord Jesus Christ finishes that by saying, "Arise, let us go hence." Let us go from here. He's telling us that the Lord Jesus Christ is telling his disciples that they are to leave. They will leave the upper room and they are on their way. They're headed to this garden in the location which is called Gethsemane, where the Lord Jesus Christ intends to pray. He is going to pray that high priestly prayer, and then later on he's going to be arrested by the mob who were led by Judas. And it seems that these words that we read in chapter 15 and also 16, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ en route to the Garden of Gethsemane. So as they are walking, he's talking with them. He's teaching them. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives us this picture, this portrait of himself in this part of being the true vine. Now, children, do you know what a vine is? If I was to ask you, what is a vine? What would you say? Well, a vine is a plant. It's a plant that produces bunches of grapes. And you see a vineyard that is filled with vine, and they produce grapes. And this is an interesting illustration that the Lord Jesus Christ uses for himself to describe who he is. And also to describe those people who are connected to him. They're called the branches. And you can imagine, can't you? They're walking together towards this garden. And as they're walking, the Lord Jesus Christ with these men going through the darkened streets of the city. Remember, this occasion was at night. And they're passing through. And as they're passing through, they see that there are some vine, there are some grapevines. And it was that time of the year, it was mid-April. And the grapevines would be beginning to blossom with the promise of a harvest that was to come. And as the Lord is walking with his disciples, perhaps he reaches out, and perhaps he points to it, and he takes a vine in his hands and uses it to teach this object lesson to those with him. He wanted to teach them something so essential, so important about what is the Christian faith, about this vital, this life and death relationship with him. Either we are connected to him or not. And so he teaches them. And we might ask ourselves, well, why did Jesus give them this teaching now? Why is he talking to them now? Well, the answer is simple. They needed it. They needed to hear this. They are going to face many, many things, these disciples, many things that may unsettle them. These men have just been informed that the Lord Jesus Christ is going away, but that his work is going to continue, and that it is to continue through them, through their lives. And he describes that in chapter 14, that they are going to carry on a work, a greater work, as it were, that in that they will publish his gospel, his truth, abroad to many, many people. And so if they are going to carry the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be Christians, to be witnesses of him, they need to know how to produce this kind of fruit in their lives. And friends, this morning we are over 2,000 years removed from that night. But the work of the Lord Jesus Christ still marches forth. It still continues. The Lord Jesus Christ is still working through his followers. And he's working so that there would be a great gathering of people, people from every different parts of the world, so that they would follow him. Well, many of us may sit here and we wonder how we are supposed to do the work of the Lord Jesus and how we are to produce any kind of fruit in our lives. And what is this fruit that he's talking about? What is this life that he's talking about? Well, the answer is found in these verses. It is all about being a genuine disciple. It's about how to bear fruit for the glory of God. You see, most people, they have no real purpose in their lives. When you ask, what's the purpose of your life? Why are you here? What's your hope? What's your aims? People might say, well, I'm here to study. I'm here to do something good. I'm here to get a job, to work. One person wrote to me as I had challenged her about what's your hope in this life? What's your hope for the life to come? Well, she wrote and said this. Well, my comfort in this life is holidays and wine. That's what she said. Is that all? Holiday and wine? Is that your comfort? Is that my comfort? For some, it is relationships, having good feeling about ourselves. And friends, when you get your identity, where do you get that? Where do you get your purpose? Where do you get your hope? Where do you get your reason in life? And where do you get the reason for the future beyond this life? The scripture says it's the purpose for our life is to know God, to know his truth, to know his salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, to know our Creator. And to live for him, to be happy in him, to find him as our source of joy and peace. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ explains himself to be. He is the true vine, and we must be connected to him. There are three things I want us to think about this morning, and they all start with the letter P. We want to look at the personality of this true vine, and then the purpose of this true vine. And then the promise. So the personality, the purpose, and the promise. And these are the things that we read in verses 1 through to 11 of John 15. So let us think about this. The personality of the true vine from verses 1 through to 3. Our Lord Jesus Christ says this, I am the true vine. You see, he's not a plant, he's not an object, as it were. It's a person that we are talking about. He says, I am the true vine. And why does he say true vine? Why not just simply say, I am the vine? He's talking about the genuineness. He's saying that the Lord Jesus and Jesus only has true life within himself. You see, all other vines, and all other people, all other leaders, all other gurus, all other teachers, all other systems of belief, he's saying they are counterfeit. They're not true. They're not real. They seem to be real. People hang on to them. But they are not real. And so he says, I am the true vine. He is alone. He is the true source of everlasting, spiritual, fulfilling, rich life, abundant life. He says, you go after other things. They are not true. They are not real. They will not last. They won't give life. And so the Lord Jesus is referring to the words of the prophets who spoke of Israel as a vineyard or a vine planted by God in order to produce the fruit of righteousness and fruit of justice that delights the Lord. And yet he says, I am the true vine. He thought Israel was the true vine, but I am the source of it. And so he's saying in this parable that I am the true Israel, as it were. And he's teaching that it is only by living this living union with him that people can bear fruit that's pleasing to God. So that's one thing. He says, I'm the true vine. But then he says this, and my Father is the husbandman. The husbandman. What's that? That's the gardener. That's the farmer, we would say today. So there is this relationship between the husbandman, the gardener, the vine dresser, and the vine. He has the responsibility of caring for the vineyard. And the Lord Jesus is saying that the Heavenly Father is the gardener. He's my Father. And in relationship to all of the branches, he's their Father too. And then he says this in verse 2, something quite important. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. It's an important thing to remember always in the scriptures, especially when the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about himself, that phrase, in me. It is a key phrase that the Lord Jesus Christ uses, and you see it in the epistles too, in Christ, in him. He says that there are branches who are to be in him. And so this lets us know that we are dealing with genuine believers or not. But here it is, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He says about there are two types of branches. Both claim to be in him. Both seem to be in him. Outwardly, they are part of this vine. But there is a difference between the two. There is one that is fruitless, and there is the other which is fruitful. There is one that is only talk, but there is one with faith and life and fruit. There is one that is talks about being born again and talks about seeking the Lord and talk about being a Christian and believing in God. And there is another one who is striving and who is showing the fruit of following the Lord. Of course, not perfectly, but there is life in them. There's a striving in them. They are not a dead fish that is just going down the river with all the other things and rubbish and branches and things. No, it's fighting to go up. So here is a people he's talking about who claim to be in him. There are these branches who are professing Christians. And he says this, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And here is this gardener who is involved. He's involved in everything that has to do with the vine. The Father is involved. And this verse zeroes in, focuses on three specific duties of this gardener, this husbandman. And he says he has certain duties. He does certain things. One of the things he does is protection. Protection. So the gardener provides tender watch. He is caring. He's protecting over the vine, over the vineyard. And so he says he takes. He takes away. He purges. And that's a good thing. Those words is telling us that God is not distant from us. It's telling us that the Lord is very much involved in our lives. That he's near to us. Have you ever had a farmer who cares for his farm from a distance? Have you ever had a farmer to say, oh, I am farming? But he never goes to plow. He never goes to sow. He never goes to water. But he's there in his house and says he's a farmer. You never have seen a farmer like that. They're active, involved with the plants, with the vineyard, or whatever they are farming. And so it's telling you that the Father is very close. He's at hand. He's touching the branches. He's taking hold of them. He's examining. He's looking. He's caring. He's providing. This plant needs some watering, so he waters them. This plant needs cleaning and purging, and so he does that. So this is a very hopeful verse. This is something very specific that it says about the Father, the husbandman. And you might feel yourself so far from God this morning. And you say to yourself, I might be that branch that is so fruitless. The one thing that you should take from this is the hope that and the encouragement that the Lord is near. Yes, you might think that, and you it might be true with you this morning, that there's not much fruit in my life. I have no hope. I have nothing. I don't really believe in the Lord. But then you might think to yourself, well, I'm going to be cut down and be thrown away. But this should encourage you this morning. As long as the Lord is near you, as long as he is handling you, then there is hope and you can turn to him this morning. Yes, the scripture says that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. That should comfort you. That should give you that encouragement. I will go to him because he sees everything about me. Then something else we see here is that he doesn't just provide, but he purifies. He purifies. Yes, he takes away a branch. The fruitless branch, he takes away. He cuts it away. And he throws it away. But then he says, but every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. There is this purifying work. That word purging has to do with cleansing. It's not about cutting the branch off altogether, but it's cleansing the branch, pruning the branch. That's what it is. It's pruning. To prune something, it doesn't mean you destroy it. Unless you are me. And I say, I will cut this and prune this, and then I cut the whole thing off, and it's gone. But this is the husbandman. This is the farmer. He knows what he's doing. That's the thing. He knows what he's doing. He's not like us. If it was left to you and me, we would be cutting off ourselves and everybody else with us too. And we said, no, there is nothing there. But you don't know. But the Lord knows. And he purifies. He purges. And this is a challenge for us. He challenges us this morning. This word taking away, it means the gardener will take the unfruitful branch, as I said. He removes them from the vine and from among the other branches. Ultimately, at last, he will do that. You see, these branches, they are not showing signs of life. They are simply attached to the branch. They're attached to the vine. That's all it is. They are attached outwardly. But nothing, they have nothing to show for it. They're just taking space for nothing. And every farmer does this. Every gardener does this. And maybe you have done it. You see a branch, this is not right, and you cut it off. And in verse 6, it says something quite sobering. He says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. He's using this as an illustration. Then what happens naturally? And he says that if a man doesn't abide in me, he's cast out, cast forth as like a branch, and he withers away. So his hand comes down. He's feeling the branches of our life. He's feeling the branches of what we are. What fruit is there? What life is there? Is it just leaves? Is it just a show? Is it just talk? There is so much talk in people's lives about God and about a show, about religion. But that's not enough. Christianity is not just about posting certain things on the internet and social media about God and religion and a Bible verse. No, no. We must have that, his life. And so he examines our life. He examines the secrets of our lives. And what does he see? And you see, he cuts away. How does he do that? He oftentimes shows the fruitlessness in our life. Sometimes he and you've seen people who they've entered into some sort of a scandal. He shows them when persecution comes that they are not truly the Lord's. He sends people hard times and the people wither away. They can't cope and they say, well, if God is so good, then why is my life miserable? I won't have that. So they would leave. And one day, friends, it says here, men will come. Another place it talks about the angels of the Lord. He will send them and they will gather people from his kingdom, the kingdom of God, that is where he's ruling in this world, those who have been false, and he casts them into a furnace of fire, the scripture says, like a pile of branches or wood that have dried up and withered to be burnt. And so it is a very sobering thing that the Lord is speaking here. But friends, this hand of the gardener comes to feel and to examine your life this morning, and my life too. And if you're concerned this morning, don't give up. And as I said to you, he's near to you. And he's putting pressures on certain points. And so what should we do in that situation? We should turn to the Lord in repentance. Tell him all about it. I was saying to the family this morning, in our reading of a quote of a Spurgeon who said that there will be no soul in hell who will say, I went to the Lord Jesus and he refused me. If you go to him, he will not refuse you, but he will receive you. And then it speaks about cleansing and purging. There are certain branches that are purged. What does that mean? It means, as I said, pruning. Pruning certain things off it so that it will be more fruitful, more vibrant, more with life. So there are certain useless buds maybe. Maybe there are some sucker branches, some weed or something that is twisted around it. It will cut it off. Maybe there is some misdirected shoots, spots and discolored leaves. He takes those things away, but he doesn't cut off the whole branch. Anything that consumes the life but produces no fruit, it must go. So he does that for the sake so that the branch might be fruitful. And so this is what the Lord does with genuine Christians. And so you might be experiencing certain trials and you ask yourself, why does the Lord is doing that? Maybe he's pruning you. You should be encouraged by that. In your situation too, the Lord is near you. He's not there to destroy you. He's not there to drown you. You might feel you are sinking, but you will not die under it. You're being cleansed. Maybe there are things in your life that is hindering your walk with the Lord. Maybe something is happening and you're stumbling over this and that. And in that situation, you and I are in danger of pruning, danger of purging. And pruning or purging, by the very word of it, it sounds painful. And it's not always easy to cut the rubbish and the junk from our lives. But if we don't do that ourselves, then the Lord will do that because he loves us. He wants us to grow. And he says to us this very thing. He says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, we have this encouragement. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." So this is us. You see things in your life that they must be set aside. They must be cast away from our life. So he says, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How does the Lord come to us graciously to deal with us, to accomplish his pruning? Well, I said to you, he sends various things in our lives at times, but there is a gentle way that he deals with us too. He sends us his word. And you hear the word of God, you read the word of God, and begins to speak to your life. That's the Lord speaking. Like a mirror, God shows you your problems. And then at times, there's this conviction that comes in your soul, and like a knife, the word of God cuts to the heart. The question for you this morning is the Lord dealing with you? Is the Lord speaking with you through his word? If so, would you not take heed? Would you not listen to this call of the Lord? If not, and if you're a child of God, then he will have to come closer to you. He's talking to you from a distance. He's talking to you from a pulpit, as it were. He's talking to you from his book. But then if we don't listen, he comes then close. He has to handle us. And it will oftentimes for God's people will be painful experience. So here it is. The Lord is speaking about his person. This is the personality of the true vine. But then, quickly, there is this purpose of the true vine. And you read again, verses 2 onwards to verse 8. He says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." That's what we were talking about. It's the word of God that cleanses us. And then verse 4, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." And that word, without me, it means if you're cut off from me. It's the word that also is translated as well as cut off. If you're cut off from the Lord Jesus, we can do nothing, spiritually speaking. Look again at verse 2. The Lord is speaking about a distinct purpose that he has. The true vine has a distinct purpose. The vine has but one purpose, we could say, to produce fruit. The vine exists for that one purpose alone. Without the fruit, the vine and all of it, what it does is all wasted. The true vine has a singular purpose, and that is to bear fruit to the glory of God. In verse 8, if you look at it, it says this, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." So the reason the vine has the desires to produce fruit is that so the vine dresser, the husbandman, the gardener, might receive the honor. That's the purpose. That was the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world, so that his Father would be glorified through the salvation of people like us. So when the fruit is yielded in a vineyard, the vine, the branches, the soil, even the fruit doesn't get the credit. But everyone says, "What a farmer! What has he done?" All the glory goes to the gardener. So it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything he did, everything he does, is for the glory of his Father. And that ought to be the burning desire of every one of us. And that's the purpose of our lives, to glorify God. And in glorifying God, we enjoy Him. That's our purpose this morning. That's why I trust we come to a place like this, because we want to know how to glorify God. Who is our God? And to praise Him and worship Him. So our lives, would every minute of our lives, it would be bringing glory to the Lord who is in heaven. There is something wrong in a life when there is no desire to bring glory to God. If we are just living for self, if we are just living to spend things on ourselves rather than the Lord who has loved us, who sustains us, who cares for us. Another thing that we ought to bear in mind is this, that the vine itself doesn't bear fruit. The vine in itself does not bear fruit. Its fruit, they are the branches. The branches have the obligation of bearing the fruit. The vine supplies its life. The vine supplies the sap. But it's the branches that bring forth fruit. And here is a word that we must take to heart. Are we fruit-bearing? Is our life productive of the things that glorifies God? How can someone be a true branch? How can someone be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, there are two things here. Again, verse 2. The branch must be attached to the vine first. Without him, if you're cut off from him, you can do nothing. So the concern that you and I first must have, are we in the vine? Are we attached to him? How can I be a child of God? How can I have this living and vital union and attachment to the Lord Jesus Christ? It is simply by faith in him. By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that he died for sinners like us. It is by trusting in him that God has said that he will give us life. The life of Christ will be in us. He will forgive us our sins. We need to repent of our sins and trust in Christ and then go on to follow him. He gives us his life. So, do you recognize your standing this morning? What's your relationship with the Lord Jesus? The Christian says that my relationship, that I am in Christ. The Christian recognizes that he's this morning in Christ. And if I am in the vine, then Jesus Christ died for me. Jesus Christ rose for me. The Lord Jesus is now in heaven for me. So if that's the case, then I have died. The old man has died, was crucified with Christ. Now I have new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we are in him, we are in him today. That's something that Christians ought to recognize. But something else. The branch must abide in the vine. Not just be attached to the vine, but abide in the vine. That is, we must maintain a close fellowship with the vine if he is to live through us to produce his fruit in our lives. And the Lord says this in verses 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. He says, you think you can do it by yourself? Forget it. You must be abiding in me. You must have this fellowship with me if you're going to be fruitful. That word abiding, what does it mean to abide? It means to be close to him. It means to be keeping close to the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you keep close to him? By talking to him. How do you keep close to somebody? By talking, conversing with that individual. How do you keep close with one another in this day and age? When we are all at distance, it is the worst time of fellowship. And so what should we do? We should talk to one another. Or else we'll be detached, we'll become distant. And so in prayer, we abide with Christ. We commune with him, being in his word, listening to him. So we need to listen to each other too if we are going to abide with one another. We need to listen to the word of God. We need to hear it. We need to meditate on it. We need to deny ourselves. We need to take up our cross. We need to die to self. We need to draw near to God. We need to have fellowship with his people, with other branches, as it were. We need to be together. The closer we abide to the vine, the more his life can flow through us to produce the fruit that he desires. So you ask yourself, am I barren? Am I being fruitless? You ask yourself, in what way are you abiding in Christ? And the branches are there. In verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So he's saying that we must be, the branch must be there. The branch, the person must be available to the Lord, must be willing. The ones who are abiding are going to be fruitful. And I remind you that the fruit bearing is a passive activity on the part of the branch. It's a passive activity. What does that mean? I'm saying that the branch, you never see the farmer going and attaching an apple on an apple tree, do you? You never find the branch itself doing something to produce the fruit. The branch simply produces it. Amazing, isn't it? It's a miracle. Every tree that you see and a blossom you see, the branch just stayed there and the blossom came. The branch didn't move at all. What happened? It is connected to the vine. It is connected to the stump of the tree, and the tree is rooted into the ground. So it is being connected to the Lord. That's what it is. The branch was not required to do anything, and that's liberating, because there are some people who believe that to be a Christian, I have to do this and I have to do that. No, you need the Lord. The Lord needs to work in you. That's what we need. And then what he does, he sanctifies us, he cleanses us. And when we talk about fruit, what do we mean by fruit? The fruit in our lives, it is when we yield to the Lord. The fruit of faith in the Savior. And it is, the fruit is one of holiness, sanctification. You become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the fruit is. We become spiritually minded. We behave more like the Lord Jesus. That our soul is burdened about the things that he is burdened about. We want the same thing as the Lord. Those are the fruit. And the Lord produces those things in his people. And you might say, well, how much fruit should I bring? How much fruit is enough? Again, this is not the responsibility of the branch, as it were. Some will produce more fruit, some less fruit, but all of them produce some fruit. It all depends on the will of the vine, as it were. Our duty is to abide in him. So is that the case? What's the situation then in our lives this morning? And very quickly, there are promises in this passage as well. Promises us to encourage us. Look at verse 7. It says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, and that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. And so on. Think about that. What's the promise here? What's the encouragement for you this morning? Whatever you have thought about, if you say to yourself, well, yes, I am a believer. I know I'm a believer, but I want to bring more fruit in my life. I feel cold and I feel dead in my own soul, but I love the Lord Jesus. What should you do? Here it is, the encouragement to pray, to seek Him, to know Him in that communion with the Lord. And you might say, well, I'm not at all a Christian this morning. I'm a churchgoer, but not a Christian. What should I do? Well, it's the same thing, isn't it? Isn't that what the Lord is saying? He says, to pray. Ye shall ask. What's He saying? Inviting us to ask. Inviting us to pray to Him. And He says, He will hear you. My Father will hear you. The farmer, the gardener, the husbandman will hear you. Because you're asking in My name. So what an encouragement it is. God will hear you, friends. God will hear you. But our issue is to humble ourselves and actually cry to God. Stop what we are doing. Stop that path that we are heading. And say, I will stop and I will actually call upon the Lord. I know whatever I have been doing in my life, it's not really led to the right way. It has been a hard way. And spiritually, I'm not doing good. So I will stop now. And even today, call upon the Lord. And He will hear me. And so that's what He says there. Ye shall ask. Will you ask the Lord then? And what happens to those who yield themselves to the Lord? They ask the things that is on God's heart as well. When we yield ourselves to the Lord's heart, it's not that we are going to ask something opposite to what the Lord wants. We want the same thing. We love the same thing. And another thing the Lord is saying here, verse 9, He speaks about the love of the Father and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is this unending love. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in ye in my love. The Lord Jesus loves sinners. But He says, those who are abiding in Him, He loves them in a special way. There is little genuine love in the world. There is so much hate, there is so much carelessness and thoughtlessness. But there is one, friends, who loves and whose love was demonstrated by dying for us on the cross. And His love remains. As the Father hath loved me, and that is an amazing love. Who can describe it? So I have loved you. Who can describe the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? And He says, continue ye in my love. The true child of God will continue. And we have this encouragement then. And then there is the encouragement and promise of joy in verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you. What's the purpose? That my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. There is this joy. It's not merely happiness. Happiness depends on happenings. What's happening to you? That's where you get your happiness from. Maybe some of you are very sad this morning about what's happened to you or what's happening to you because of those happenings in your life. But joy is something different. It is a deep, settled inner pleasure. It is this deep, settled peace in the heart with that hope that only the Lord Jesus Christ gives. It is this deep, settled assurance and confidence in our relationship with God, our Father, and with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that fills with heart with joy. And the Apostle Paul talks about this joy unspeakable. You can't even explain it, but it is there and it is full of glory. And that ignites the heart to serve the Lord. So here it is, my friends. These are the promises of the Lord to us, that we can commune with Him. He hears us. That He loves sinners so sincerely and so lovingly and so graciously that He is the one who fills our heart with joy. So Jesus Christ is the true vine. Anybody who lives in Christ, anyone who trusts in Him, anyone who goes after the Lord Jesus Christ will have reason to live and will have reason for a fruitful life. Their life means something and it will glorify God. And so as we close, I ask you what I've asked you already. Are you in the vine? Are you saved? Are you grafted into the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you abiding in the vine? Are you drawing your strength from him so that he's able to produce fruit in your life? And are you bearing fruit today? Where do you stand this morning with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is the Lord pruning certain things back in your life? Well, let him do that. Let him do that. Trust him that he will not cut you off. Trust him all the way in your life. And he will give you joy and peace. And more than all of those things, the knowledge of the forgiveness of sins, to be right with God. That's the most thing in our lives. Other things can be taken away. Other things in your life might be a mess. But to be right with God, that's so essential. It will not see you in this life, but in the life to come. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us. And I ask you to consider these things throughout this day. And even if you want to chat with me about these things, feel free to do so. May God bless his word.